9 months after nine people died in the mass shooting at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, a play called Roseburg opened at a theater company in Philadelphia. The play closed last weekend after a planned month-long run. Back in Roseburg, the city, several voices spoke out with criticism of the play, putting the real-world events of last year on stage. It's not just the events of last October, though. Roseburg, the play, also includes Robert Kennedy's visit to Roseburg, the city, in 1968 in his presidential campaign, less than 2 weeks before he was murdered. Let's talk about how these elements all came together. Ginger Dale is the playwright of Roseburg and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ginger, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
This is not your first work connected to RFK, I understand. Talk about the play that you directed.
Well, I also directed Roseburg, FYI. I directed a one-man show just called RFK, about Bobby Kennedy, which started with JFK's assassination and ended with his. It was very successful for us. We did it in Philadelphia. Then we took it down to Washington, D.C., and then brought it back to Philly. The playwright, a gentleman by the name of Jack Holmes, who happened to have grown up in the area surrounding Philadelphia, and his family is still here, so they all saw our production, did the show in California, and he brought it over to New York. When I did it, I added quite a bit of video to it, for some of the transitions in between scenes, because I think one thing that really sticks out to me about the 60s is how that's really, we started to watch the world on TV, and, you know, in the 70s too, or even the late 60s because of Vietnam and what have you. We had a lot of success with it that it hadn't previously had. And the actor, Russ Woodall, who is an actor, was on HBO's The Wire, and is my, artistic and life partner, was fantastic in the role, and I wanted to bring something back and show another side of Bobby Kennedy, because the thing about RFK, it was all in his own words. He's talking to the audience about all these things that happened in his life, but as wonderful as he was, I think he did have, like most people, his ups and downs, and I thought his presidential campaign was a great place to start writing a play about that. And then when the shooting in Roseburg happened and they kept showing that footage of him giving that speech there where he was heckled, I just was like, well, that's the play right there. Because gun control was an issue that was important to him, and unfortunately not much has changed since 1968.
Right, so you were well aware of his comments then by the time that you you had begun by the time you heard about Roseburg, you knew everything about that incident, it sounds like.
Yeah, I knew quite a bit about it, and one thing I wasn't positive of, but then I absolutely needed to find out, was it seemed to me that it was a speech that was not prepared. Richard Goodwin, who is a character in the play, he was a speechwriter at that time, and he would always give him pretty good notes. Bobby's secretary, Angie, kept excellent records of all of his speeches and notes and everything, and they're all at the Presidential Library in Boston, where you can, you know, go read them if you get researcher status and look at everything. I have access to a lot of his personal work there. And one thing I found is when I found his itinerary for Oregon that day when he was campaigning through, for Roseburg, there was just kind of a couple things he was supposed to say about Vietnam, and that was it. And my feeling, based on my intuition, is that he probably showed up at that rally and saw all of the Second Amendment rights signs and other things and was just felt the need to speak about how he felt on gun control. And he gave a really interesting speech. You know, he talked about...
He did. We actually have a clip of that, and I want to
play it.
We have like 45
great.
Seconds. So let's hear Bobby Kennedy. This is on the steps of the Douglas County Courthouse in Roseburg in May of 1968, about 11 days before he died.
It's presented by the John Birch Society as somebody that's going to come in, the federal government's going to come in and take your guns away, or take your rifles away. Nothing's going to happen about that. Anybody can have it, just as you can have an automobile. I hear this is going to be here in this community. It's described as this is the way Nazi Germany started. Well, you can say that registering an automobile is the way Nazi Germany started. All we're talking about is having guns not in the hands. Anybody can have a gun. Anybody can have a rifle. But a person who's got a criminal record or is in an insane institution or is mentally incompetent shouldn't have a rifle or a gun. Is there anybody out here that thinks those people should have rifles and guns? Well, that's all the legislation does. It doesn't stop anybody from having a rifle or a gun. So protect your right to keep and bear arms. They're just misleading the American people and misleading everybody else.
So I'm not surprised that people would be struck by that, Ginger Dale, that a lot of the same arguments are getting made on both sides to this day.
Exactly. I mean, and one thing I found really interesting, I have strong opinions on gun control, though I would say that writing this play really opened my mind to the other side, because I think we need more of it. But through the research and really understanding the anti-gun control people, or the people who I should say are pro-gun, I really learned a lot about it. But what hasn't changed in nearly 50 years is what the steps the government has taken and how we approach it. It's still this very simple argument of, I don't want you to take my guns away. And it hasn't developed further than that. And that's really, it's interesting, but it's also, it says something, I think, about our country. And I've noticed, particularly with school shootings, you know, I grew up in the wake of the Columbine shooting. That, I mean, I remember where I was that day. That, for me, for my generation, that was like the Kennedy assassination. It was coverage that was on TV during the day. Our teacher brought the TV into the room and said, we have to watch this. The class I was in at the time, the teacher, his daughter was a student at University of Colorado, whatever campus is closest to Littleton. And we just watched it. And it drug on for a couple hours because the SWAT team didn't know what to do. They didn't really go in, you know, unlike now. But the school shooting thing, that is very American. I don't know what it is about that. I mean, we have seen shootings recently in other countries and other things, but the idea that students who feel ostracized and on the outskirts and the fringe of their schools and society take this step to make some sort of statement, and I haven't seen it happen the way it does here anywhere else in the world.
Ginger Dale's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is the playwright who wrote the play Roseburg, which ties together Robert Kennedy's visit to Roseburg in 1968 that you just heard from and the Umpqua Community College shootings of last October. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So once you heard about the Roseburg shootings, I mean, did you pretty much go straight to the computer and begin to write the play?
I went straight to the computer and started downloading everything I could about the shooter and his mother, who they were kind of outsiders in Roseburg as well, because one of the trends that's happened, one of the interesting things about Columbine, I'll say, is that we didn't have social media or even the Internet as much at that time. And people, those two kids kept notebooks and diaries, and they wrote a lot. And it's very easy to research that. There's been many books written about Columbine. Now, with the Internet, a lot of people go into chat rooms and have blogs, and they say what they want to say, and then there's this idea, wipe it all out so we don't turn them into celebrities as soon as they do something like this. And I understand that philosophy entirely. But at the same time, we don't really have much to go back and research sometimes. And that's exactly what happened with the shooter in Roseburg. He had a blog, he was active, and his mother was active on a lot of it. She had a blog about gunshot wounds. You can still find some of it, but a lot of the you know, chat rooms and stuff they went to, they've erased the content because they want people to see it. And I knew that would happen. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I did was download it. I started to outline the play. I didn't really know where it was going. And then in January, President Obama on January 5th of this year gave a speech on reasonable gun control. And I knew that's how I had to end it. Knowing that this play was running during the Democratic National Convention here in Philadelphia, and that we had some support from the DNC and we had groups that came in that were related to that, I wanted to really make a political statement about, you know, what I think we need to do. And I was really making it from a Democratic point of view. I happen to be Democrat. Mm-hmm. But also, that was the convention that was in town. And gun control is definitely an issue. I know that Ambassador Clinton has talked about it quite a bit. And certainly Bernie Sanders, he brings it up every chance he gets in a good way. And Donald Trump received the backing of the NRA early on in his campaign. So I really use that to close it out. But I wrote the actual play in the 4 weeks that we rehearsed it before the 4 weeks it ran, because I had the professional actor in it, but the rest of them, it was part of our educational program. Mm-hmm. It was 8 students, most of them from Temple University, and I really wanted to use their input because, you know, they're a generation behind me, and for them, Columbine is like history. It's not something they really experience themselves. So their thoughts on gun control and shootings were interesting. They were different than mine, you know. I mean, they've experienced more of them. There's not, like, one they can point their finger to as being the one that they say, well, that really that's where I really made up my mind.
Mm-hmm. So you had the presence of the Democratic National Convention going on in Philadelphia while the play was running, and certainly support there as well. How do you have any contact with people in Roseburg in the process of putting it together?
I contacted a couple of reporters who had interviewed the victims, because there's a section at the beginning where it starts out with a grief counselor dealing with victims coming in and stuff. And I someone who interviewed Chris Mintz, who was someone who was surviving, he's given multiple interviews on it. I didn't want to interview him yet again because he said the same thing. Also, when I started writing this, I realized something, which I've written other historical plays before, and I've worked with as a dramaturg in other plays. Sometimes when you interview people, when you bring them into the process, and you're talking about something they experience or they know a lot about, they tend to try to control the story. And for me, I feel like with these two events, I wanted to really show what happened, and I wanted the audience to really make their own conclusions. You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to turn it into a, I need to tell you how much pain I'm in, and that's a valid story to tell. But I didn't want that to derail the comparison I was making. So people gave a lot of interviews. There's a lot of strong opinions out there. I thought it would be stronger to take what people said when they weren't thinking about the, you know,
so first impressions.
Yeah, first impressions, opposed to I'm writing a play and I'm showcasing the shooter and his mother and comparing it to this assassination of Robert Kennedy. Then they're going to really filter what they say. And if anything, I think I honor the town. I found a lot of what I learned about Roseburg to be extremely charming. A number of people who grew up in the area, who either live in New York or Washington, D.C., or a couple of people from Baltimore, came and saw the show, and they were very positive on it. I think the problem with the press in Roseburg is people hear play written about our town, and, you know, it's a small, insular community, and they feel very protective of it without even understanding what it's about. I got, like, death threats on Facebook, and I would say to them, you know, most of the play is about Robert F. Kennedy. And they're like, stop changing the subject. And I'm like, you don't even understand. That is the subject, you know, of the play. So it was interesting because I think Roseburg as a small or medium-sized town is not much different than other smaller, medium-sized towns in this country. It's a great place to live, but also things have happened there that we need to address. We can't sweep them under the rug and not talk about them, you know?
Could you have, I mean, it sounds like, did anybody actually call you, but did you have conversations with people on the phone, or was it mostly through social media and that sort of thing?
A lot of it was on social media. People contacted the Facebook page for New City Stage Company, the company that produced it, and me. I would say I probably got over 1,200 comments. I'd say about 1,000 of them were negative. Out of that 1,000, I'd say half of them were threatening, derogatory, really inappropriate language, a lot of misogyny towards me. It wasn't even about the play. I mean, people contacted me. There were eight student actors and professional actor in it. They got maybe out of all of them 10 comments total. But the stuff that was directed towards me was really hate speech, and it was not kind. I did get a lot of kind messages, though, about 200. And those people tended not to make them public because they didn't want to be ostracized by their community. And a lot of, like, intellectual curiosity. I had a number of people who remembered Robert Kennedy's visit.
Really?
And thought that it was amazing that not only was I talking about it, I was comparing it to the shooting, because they're like, we kind of get what's going on here. Like, we think the same thing. But, yeah, a couple people called me. I did talk to one person whose son was in the room when the shooting happened, and she was really concerned about his portrayal. I'm like, he's not portrayed. I used the time that I spend in the 2015 time period to really try to explore why I think the shooter did that. And through my research of him and kind of going backwards up until about Columbine with all these previous shootings like Sandy Hook and Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. I found there's a lot of similarities between the people who do school shootings. And, you know, the similarities are not things you can ignore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really used that. I used a lot of things that he and his mother wrote, but a lot of that I crafted. Really the only time the victims are mentioned at the beginning, and I'm trying to honor them, and the fact that all these people came out and said, God, we're so hurt by these 9 people being killed, and I completely understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ginger Dale is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the playwright of the play Roseburg, which deals with the Umpqua Community College shootings and Robert Kennedy's visit to Roseburg, talking about gun control in 1968. How, Ginger, was the response from the audiences you had over the month the play ran?
Excellent. I mean, a lot of people were moved and touched. It is a workshop production, so one thing I learned is the play is a little too long for a lot of people. I also had, like, Wayne LaPierre pops up in it, so does Sarah Brady. I had some, you know, I wanted to get in other opinions in there, like, in between scenes. But generally speaking, people were like, wow, this gives you a lot to think about. Ending it with Obama's speech was interesting because I had basically everyone in the play take a piece of it, and I edited it down to the parts I thought mattered. That's probably where the most editing can happen, because even since that speech, more shootings have happened. I had to add shootings during the run because Dallas, Orlando, Baton Rouge, you know, crimes, shootings against police now seem to be an issue, you know. I really think, I mean, to me, the school shooting really says something, because Bobby Kennedy, one thing he really stood for was education for everyone, and everyone should have access to the same resources, you know, that education is the key to equality in our country. So to me, school shootings, part of that is educating everyone about how these things can happen and what we can do about them. So I think that's where I'll probably keep my focus. But it was interesting to see how the nature of mass shootings have changed in the country over 50 years, even over 10.
Another play you've written is about John Hinckley.
Yes, I wrote a play about John Hinckley.
Yeah. So you've been focused on gun violence for a while.
Yes. I mean, I had to bring Sarah Brady back after I wrote that. That was interesting doing that play because at the time, John Hinckley's mother had a particular attorney for him, his attorney that he had during the trial, Vince Fuller, who I think he also represented Jimmy Hoffa. He's a pretty high-powered attorney in D.C. He had since passed away. He was a character in it, but his current attorney, as soon as he heard I was writing it, contacted me, and I was like, listen, everything's fair use I'm using in this. You can do and say whatever you want. You're welcome to come see it. I'll give you a free ticket. And he never did anything about it, but my opinion on him, part of the deal with John Hinckley is I thought at the time we didn't have reality TV in 1981, and I honestly think John Hinckley was looking for celebrityism in a way that reality TV could have gotten it for him. Mm. I don't know if he would have done that if he was mentally unstable, but if he had access to the attention that he so desperately wanted. I don't know if school shooters, you know, now that the trend is to, they do the shooting, we don't talk about them, we don't publicize it as much as we can, we just focus on the victims. I mean, perhaps that will reduce them. I don't know. I mean, we have to do something, you know. I don't know what the answer is, but I certainly want to talk about it.
Just a few seconds left here. Has anyone in Roseburg, the city, requested a copy of the script of Roseburg, the play?
Oh, of course. I've got a bunch. Even the community theater wanted to do a reading of it. Since it's a work in progress, it's not yet published, so I can't send it out because of copyright reasons. I do have to copyright it, and then it'll be published by one of the major playhouses. But one thing I hope to do is to film it and perhaps broadcast it there. I have no problem with anyone viewing it. I just can't, you know, to protect my work, I can't send it out until it's copyrighted.
Okay, understood. The play is called Roseburg. It is based on events in Roseburg, not just at the Umpqua Community College shootings last October, but also Robert Kennedy's visit in May of 1968, put on in Philadelphia by the New City Stage Company, written by Ginger Dale, who's been our guest on The Exchange. Ginger, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.